This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
Earnest, it's 2021, the year of execution. In order to execute, we have to have information. And the number one place to get the information, EYL University. Shadi, tell them what we bring in.
Yes, EYL University has been reloaded. We already have 100 past webinars. We already have weekly webinars. We already have our private investment group on Facebook. We already have monthly financial planning calls. We already have bi-weekly real estate calls. But what has been added to EYL University this year is access to MG the Mortgage Guy's Home Buyer's Blueprint, which walks you through the home buying process from A to Z. And what also has been added, breaking news alert. Everybody always asks to be in our group chat.
How do I get in there?
And when we talk about all the investment plays that we are making, we are going to have investment calls, group chat calls with me, Troy, and the whole team, and walk you through our plays that we're making and give you insight into our portfolios. All of that for 75% off. That's right. We are doing a blowout sale, 75% off for a limited time only. Go to EYLUniversity.com right now and sign up.
See you on the other side.
All right, guys. Welcome back. EYL ATL edition, 85 South edition.
The coldest edition.
The coldest. That's a fact. So
earn your 85.
Earn your 85.
The collab episode.
That's a fact. That's a fact, man. So if you watch us, you know that we always collaborate with great people. And shout out to Chico Bean, the first 85 Southfer that we had
Southfer,
on.
Like that.
The first one that we had on. So it was only right that we had to double back with not only one, but two. One you definitely do know. The other one you probably don't know.
But sure, what's up? My name is Carlos Miller.
wait. You forgot the Bernard part. You forgot the Bernard part.
Carlos Miller, man, the star, one of the funniest dudes on earth. We was just at their spot yesterday, and we were saying, like, yo, this dude's improv skills is crazy.
Different level.
Nah,
genius level.
Yeah. Talented, extremely talented dude. Needs no introduction. I know you've seen it on Wild Out. You watch 85 South religiously. You check in, you tap
every week, every million of you.
Yeah. A million episode, that's a fact. And who you might not know is Chad Oubre. Yeah. Oubre. Chad's the bro. So Chad is one of the business minds behind the whole operation of 85 South. And Chad reached out to me in a DM after we did the R&B only episode.
Mm. Right.
He hit me like, yo, bro, everything he's talking about, I understand. I'm going through this.
We really living that.
And we linked up, we spoke. And ever since then, he's just been like one of the best resources that we've had.
Yeah.
Super, super smart dude, super knowledgeable, very on point, and a little standoffish if you don't know him.
yeah, crazy.
but once you get to know him, man, one of the best dudes.
I mean, from the second we landed in Atlanta, then we landed at like 9 o'clock, shot an episode, Chad came over at like 11:30 and just kicked it with us. Like, we never met this dude from anywhere, and was just like, yo, bro, I could take it. Y'all got something here that could go to the next level. I'll never forget what he told me. He's like, yo, in a year from now, I can't wait to see where y'all gonna be. And I was like, yo, damn, this dude has read our whole life. He just met us. This dude is ill.
Yeah, man. So shout out to Chad. Shout out to Carlos. This is gonna be a legendary episode. So first and foremost, gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. So let's get into it. All right. So 85 South, right? We got three different talented people coming together. But when we come to 85 South, it's like 25 people there. Like, it's like,
before you even,
yo, it's a whole operation. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. It's like the Cosby Show. So how did that come about? How did 85 South come about? People see the final product now, but what's the origins to get to where it is now?
You gonna take it?
Go ahead. All right. Give them the layout, Chad.
Yeah, so it started like, I've known Lowe's for almost, was it 15 years? So we met when I was a senior in high school. All together, we were selling cell phones.
And he was in high school.
Oh, grandfather?
I was grown already.
Yeah,
he
oh, wow.
I was already an adult. He was in high school.
I didn't know it was that far back.
What was that mall in Kennesaw?
Or Mary Town Center. Center.
Town Center Mall. So that's where I first met Lowe's, first met Clayton, stayed in touch. It's always been like a big brother, even when I went to school. So I remember when I was in school, Lowe's was like, man, I'm going to do comedy. You've always been the funniest person in the world to me, fast forward. Lowe's was getting his career off the ground. I was working at Steve Harvey at the time. And Lowe's had we actually wanted to create a radio show. And then Lowe's had an idea to take it digital. Let's figure out podcasting. And that's really where it started, about 5-6 years ago.
What year is this that you're working at Steve Harvey?
Man, it had to be, it's 21. So I say like 13, 14. But even prior to starting the show, we was always creating content. We both understood content was something that was necessary. So Lowe's was shooting hole in the walls, or we drive to Alabama, we drive to whatever city, we bring a camera or two, and just try to figure out how to get this content rolling.
So Lowe's, you were doing a comedy thing.
Right.
And yo, I saw one of the names, and if you don't know comedy, then you probably don't, I mean, you should know this name. You start out with Robert Townsend? That's true?
I didn't start out with him. That was the first TV shit that I did, because he had bought a network here in Atlanta called the Black Family Channel, and he brought his... And if you go way back in the comedy game, when Robert Townsend Partners in Crime was one of the platforms for comedians, it was like one of the first places you got to see Robin Harris, mm-hmm. one of the first places that Damon Wayans shot a special at
HBO, right?
Tommy Davidson. And so it was like, it was always like a big launch pad for comedians, mm-hmm. but you know, they took it away for a while. And then he bought that network and he brought it back. So I was like, you know, I was hoping that the platform would still be what it was, but it just fizzled. Nobody really saw it.
Yeah, I remember that was like early 90s when I was talking about the original one.
The original one.
I was like, damn. Yeah, In Living Color came.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So he brought it back, and then it just really didn't, you know, that was one of the first TV appearances that I made. Like, it came on, but it just wasn't, it was an independent channel, so it wasn't a lot of views on it. But I quit. I quit. My, I thought I was like,
TV, yeah, this is the moment.
Yeah. So that was one of the first TV things that I did.
So then, so Wildin' Out comes before 85 South or after?
During. It comes after. My first season of Wildin' Out was 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So we did two seasons and then we came back with it. And right around when we dropped Christmas 2015. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So probably like a little, maybe like a year and a half after a while now.
So you said, whose idea was it to actually do the podcast and not radio?
That was Los. But the idea to create for ourselves was what we knew we had to do.
Yeah. So Los, what made you want to jump into that podcast? Because that's early on before people actually knew the value. Everybody wants to do a podcast now, but what made you want to get on that wave early?
Foxhole Radio.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, I used to drive trucks.
That's right.
I was a truck driver. So after being in a truck all day, you've heard every song that you want to hear. I would always turn it over to the comedy station. And it would just be like, just comedians yelling in the mic saying crazy shit. And it was like, once that went away, I was like, we don't have no outlets for comedians to not be performing. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, people always want you to be on as a comedian, but there's no place where we could have comedian locker room talk. We didn't have that free form where we could just say whatever, give opinions, and just wild out, literally. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that, and I like to consume media. I listen to a lot of stuff. Like, I listen to a lot of old shit from like National Geographic documentaries. And I just like media. So anytime that I'm doing anything, I got something on, whether it be just my YouTube recommendations. I probably watch all of them every day and be like, all right, give me some more shit to click on. So yeah, I just like the like background ambiance type shit where you can form opinions and, you know, bounce ideas back. And that's how I create a lot of content, is I consume a lot of media and just, you know, play off people's emotions and opinions and be like, this is mine.
No, that's crazy, because it's like, I feel like, yeah, really beat the curve. Nobody knew the pandemic was coming, but it's like, if you're a stand-up comedian, you can't do shows anymore, right?
Right.
But you've actually created a platform where you're actually doing comedy every Friday when the podcast comes out. So really, you're going on tour digital, like my man Ben X says, digital real estate.
Right.
Yeah. So you carved that niche out, and now it's like, you don't have to actually physically go places. You just drop an episode on YouTube, get a million views, and get paid that way.
I used my platform as far as the 85 South show to make people want to come see me tell jokes. Yeah. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not on the 85 South show just saying shit or wasting material. Like, it's pretty much free advertising for me. It's like, man, if you like the shit that I talk when I'm just sitting here with my friends talking shit, wait until you see me go on stage and actually make an effort to make you laugh. You know what I'm saying?
I look at podcasting for us, dog. It's like we put out a mixtape every Friday, you know, and a million people listen to it. And there was a time when we were younger, in college, like you couldn't wait for Wayne to put something out, and then Gucci going to drop something, and then Future going to drop something. But for us, we just got a visual mixtape that's advertising whatever we want to advertise. It's a billboard every Friday.
So yeah, talk about that. Yeah, both could talk about that, because everybody has their own individual brands too.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So it's
that's what makes it work, though. Mm-hmm. Under all the layers of the show, is that what makes, you know, that's the sauce that people want to find. It's that we never stop moving, whether we're moving as a unit, mm-hmm. The pandemic hit and we have to split off and break up the three-headed monster, and like, you go this way and you zigzag and you go right. That's what keeps it going, is that we do all have individual brands. And it's like, the 85 South show is the house that we keep it under.
Yeah.
So even in that, right, because all three of you are successful, what role does ego play in that, right? Because I could imagine that, like, yo, you get a role and it's like, maybe Chico didn't get something.
You believe it or not, man, nobody, Chad will tell you, man, it ain't no ego. Mm-mm. Because we're not all on the same page as men. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we got a right hand, a left hand, and then we got an ambidextrous. You get what I'm saying? That's the best way to put it, because it's like, no matter what room you put us in or what arena you put us in, If you give us three dressing rooms, we all gonna end up in the same spot talking shit. And it's just, this is it's really organic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, we don't have to figure each other out. It's like, DC might walk in and throw his goddamn phone across the room. Like, well, that's just what he does. Chico may fucking walk off it. You might not see him till we get ready to go on the stage or whatever. I might fucking round and walk in and talk shit for 2 hours and go to sleep for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just, we moving as one in different directions. And it's just crazy to see how it works out.
That's the genius part, because people just see the comedy, but they overlook the part of black men working together.
Yeah, it's like Hollywood ask us, how's it? I'm like, yo, these are really my partners.
Right.
I don't know how to tell you that. Like, I know where they live. They know where I live. We're friends when the cameras is off. All you're seeing is the hour or the 2 hours, but like, we have 3 hour conversations with each individual and we can kick it for Thanksgiving or whatever the case is. Like, we're really friends. We happen to make money together. Yeah. And even like, you know, people say you shouldn't do business with friends or family, but I feel like that's somebody that's trying to be the big dog or somebody that's skimming off the top. Like, we don't hide nothing from each other.
Right.
You know, it's easy to do business when there's integrity and honesty. You know, the business is the easy part. Creating is like, and all that other stuff is the hard part.
Los, let me ask you this, because you got two sides of the coin. You worked for Nick Cannon on Wild Out, which is corporate, but then you got 85 South, which y'all do your own thing. So what's the comparison? Like, what's the good side, bad side of being in that corporate machine and as opposed to doing everything independent, 85 South?
Well, I mean, when you're working for somebody or with somebody, there's only so much that you can do. You get what I'm saying? And it's like, you going to somebody else's platform, at the end of whatever it is that you do, it's still theirs. You get what I'm saying? I like the direct benefit of benefiting from my own work as opposed to working for somebody or with somebody making their shit look good. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like, shit, they don't give a shit about who you are or what you brought to the... This is a business at the end of the day. And if I feel like I can get what I want from... what I need from you as a talent, from somebody else at a better rate, then I'm going to do that. That's just how that side of the game works. You don't never want to be talent for hire. You get what I'm saying? I said this on a set when I wasn't happy one time. It's like, you got me looking real hired right now. And that's not what I'm here for. You get what I'm saying? I'm not hired talent on this. Like, I have an invested interest in this production. Mm-hmm. So that was and then you have to explain, like, this ain't that. Like, you're not telling me what to do. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
I talk to the same people you talk to. And now if we need to go talk to these people, we can. Because I know that they know that they don't know that you're trying to act like you hired me over there. That's the risk that I have to take a lot of times as a talent. Because I can tell when shit ain't right. I'll be like, hold up. He quiet. His door closed. And... let me go talk to these folks. He ain't gonna say it. Now it's gonna look like I'm the angry nigga. But I'm gonna have to go say it.
Yeah.
Cause I know we could turn this bitch into work if you want to. You want us to work? You want us to just get the money or you want us to do what we came here to do? Cause this is, and I'll be telling Chad a lot of times, like, Lowe's, just cause I'm like, bro, it's the difference in between when you own and when you working. Mm. Sometimes motherfuckers be working and don't know it. They just make it look like they own.
Yeah.
When you own, can't nobody fire you or none of that shit. When you own, they have to go get that dude and be like, come on, let's talk over here. Yeah. You, him, and us, and we need to fix this shit. Yeah. But when you tell it, they be like, you ain't listening to him? Oh, you ain't listening? Oh, this nigga ain't listening. Yeah. Can we talk to everybody? Yeah, because we don't want that. We need motherfuckers. We need listeners. We don't need bosses in here. We need listeners. We need teamwork.
Teamwork.
We need everybody on the same page. That's how they treat
that's the
you
line.
When you're hired.
Yeah.
But when you own, I'm like, well, can we? It's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
When you tell it, they be like, you can't smoke in here.
That's
but when you own, yeah. I'd be like, you need an ashtray?
I'm telling you.
That's what your button.
He said that's why he quit. That's one of the reasons why he quit Complex. They wouldn't let him smoke in the bathroom.
Exactly.
He felt the way about that.
It's different rules when you hired and when you own.
So, and Shadi referenced this earlier. Every time we pull up on y'all, it's like 20 people there. But in the beginning, is it just you three? Are you four, including Chad, on that wooden table saying like, "Yo, we gonna get this done"? And what was the steps that said, you know what, we got to scale this a little bit more?
Well, check this out. If you ever see us with 20 people, 17 of them people are working.
Right.
Right. Bro, that's one thing about us. We don't have no dead weight.
No.
I'm telling you, man, everybody that's around us is around us for a reason, man. And a lot of times we have people who work around us, whether they be artists or presidents of the bank. It's just, we just have the type of energy that makes people want to be around. You get what I'm saying? And we try to, you know, shuffle it around, but they like magnets, man. They fucking find them. And that's dope when you know what I'm saying? When you know people not just around because they want something, like they want to be there. You get what I mean?
It gives that feeling like everybody feels like they're part of this. Like when, even exactly. Before y'all show up to the set, it's like, yo, everybody's welcoming, they're greeting, and it feels like, yo, 85 South is ours. You know what I'm saying? So that's a dope environment.
And we try to keep it, like, being on sets, like, wilding out. It's like, we try to keep that shit as hood and Hollywood at the same time. It's like, we don't have this dude doing 12 things. You know what I'm saying? We try to keep people in their lane. So that's why we try to streamline our whole production. Mm-hmm. You know, people won't, they'll set necessarily see, like, a podcast, but we have to produce a whole show. So we need somebody who can do the lights and shoot some pictures, and we need somebody who can run to the store and get some blessing. But we don't want these to be the same people. You get what I'm saying? It's like, you got one job. Literally.
Go to the store.
Yeah, we got
Get the blunts. Get the blunts.
Yeah, we're trying to keep our shit running like Amazon, man. We don't want everybody in the way, and we don't want too many people around that's not doing shit.
Yeah.
Chad, let's
find balance.
Yeah, I'm just saying, balance. We're trying to keep the overhead underhanded, if that makes sense. We want our overs to be under. Fuck that. You gonna do something. You driving from a show or something. You got something you can do. Well, I can't do nothing. Well, stand there and look like you good at some shit. Yeah. Put that shirt on. Fix your face.
Somebody open the bottles.
Exactly.
More bottles.
More bottles. That's a fact.
Chad, let me ask you this. Dealing with, you know, corporations and things of that nature, I know you do a lot of the conversations. Mm-hmm. So you guys, you know, y'all got a full-fledged business, but you're a comedy platform. So At first, or even now, do you have to deal with that? Like people not taking you as serious?
Yeah.
How's that? Talk about that a little bit.
Before you answer this, let me say one thing. When people hit me about some 85 South Show shit, and I'd be like, hit Chad. They'd be like, nah. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm like, nah, bro, you gonna talk to Chad, bro. Because we ain't going through all that other shit. He know exactly what we want, and he know exactly what it's gonna take for us to give you what you're asking for. That's the man that you gotta talk to before any of this shit happens. Don't hit me asking me how much the show costs or what is going on. Nah, we don't even run like that. Yeah. You gotta talk to Chad, bro. Cause he the nigga who gonna tell you, nope, that ain't gonna work. DC gonna break that. Nope, Chico don't wanna come. Los ain't fucking with it. He already knows because we done did this shit 150 shows.
Now it makes sense why he has a demeanor like that. He gotta say no.
I think you know what his demeanor is? It's that knowing what he has to say no to. Because it's not like he just got a vendetta out against people. It's like, nah, nigga, I know these people. And I'm trying to do this shit with you, and this not going to work for this reason. I ain't mean to cut you off, but.
Nah, I ain't even start, so it's
all right. You got to talk to him, though.
What was the question?
Yeah, I was saying, like, you know, dealing with corporations and all that, and y'all being a comedy platform, because people, they insult our intelligence, and we're a business platform. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, you would at least think that they would at least give us the benefit of the doubt. Talk about it every single week. They still think that we have no idea what we're doing. So how has that been for you?
Man, I look at it as these are old giants that are holding on to the last hope. And they know that their world is crumbling, and we got all the power. You know, so they treat us as if, you know, they're doing us favors. And I'm like, yo, we don't even necessarily have to do business with you. You know, like, we're good with or without you. which forces them eventually to do good business by us if they want to do business by us. So them, like, it doesn't insult my intelligence. And I say this with respect because it's like, dog, I wake up when I want. You know, you got to answer to somebody. So, like, it doesn't frustrate me. You don't get right. Like, I'm cool. And my partners is cool. And they trust what I'm saying because we've already had this conversation. I'm not having some under-the-table conversation with you. This is something that Los has agreed on, Chico's agreed on, Fly's agreed on, Joe's agreed on, Cat's agreed on. And I'm just the vessel for this information. That's it. So it doesn't, if I let that frustrate me, that'd be my ego. So I check my ego every morning.
I don't. My ego big as fuck. Man, ain't nobody checking mine. Yeah, be humble. For what? You be broke?
Nah, it doesn't frustrate me, dog. It doesn't.
Serious, man. You can never be great talking yourself out of it. Yeah. Like, I need to be humble for. You be around some niggas making 300 a week.
No, thanks.
Exactly.
And this is why I say no a lot.
I'm telling you, man. When you get to the point where you just tired of working and doing shit for people.
That's the truth.
With people, around people, waiting on motherfuckers, you hit a wall and be like, I refuse to let you slow up what I'm on. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not about to keep calling you. And, nigga, what's the problem? Yeah. Like, I hate the way you have to force some people to do what they fucking ask to be, you know what I mean? They ask to be put in these positions when it comes to doing business. Oh, man, let's get up. Call me Wednesday or we got to do something. Like, bro, you are wasting time. Every time I see you, say the same shit. You got to get up. Hey, man, your number's still the same. You ain't never used it. You never called me, bro. Don't fucking act like we on all this shit because people around, nigga, you knew me before anything. Now you going to try to play like I don't fuck with you because some people around.
Yeah. Nah, they almost like, these corporations get offended. Like, you saying no to me? I'm like, bro, it's bad business. You know, like, I don't think people fully understand how insulated we are. You know, like, we're not. There's no loan. Nobody funds this. This is us, dog. Mm-hmm. We pay the tax bill every year or every quarter, whatever the case is. So if the business makes sense, we could do it. It's not really hard. But what you also learn, too, with these corporate guys, just their title doesn't mean that they're, like, the most intelligent.
Yep, and a lot of people got a boss too. That's why Dame Dash be saying that shit. A lot of people come up to you and they'll make you a bullshit business offer. And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And then once you look at the numbers and how they break down over a certain period of time, you're like, man, if you don't get the fuck on with this shit, because in this amount of time, I can make this money by myself. So it's like, all I got to do is go out and grind to get this money that you're talking about, and it's going to take me. You got it right here today, but if I have to go out and hustle for the next 2 months or 3 months and I can get this independent, then what the fuck is you offering me?
Yeah, that's why I think y'all, especially us in that category, like, we the new businessmen, right? Yeah. That we wear hoodies, we got cornrows, we got beards and bald heads. Like, we do all that, but we businessmen too. Now sometimes that gets discounted when we get in front of these people, take it for a discount, like, yo, they must not know anything. But yeah, you ain't start there.
That's because we are aware of the way that they've been doing business with us for the past few years. It's like they come through with these advertising deals or these sponsorship deals, and then you find out that you was talking to a dude who was trying to give you a quarter of what the people came back and told him to offer you. Mm-hmm. So he could pocket the rest of this shit. Yeah. So then it's like, okay, so we pass on this year. And now we go back and we talk to your boss. Mm-hmm. Right. We say, well, what happened? We sent the...
Oh, yeah, that's happened.
Well, he's no longer working for it.
That's happened more than once.
Exactly. So a lot of times you get caught up talking to the wrong people about the right shit, though.
They betting on you like having to pay your bills.
Right.
They think you're
going
to say no to whatever.
Right. Like, bro, I'm cool, dog. Like, when I'm telling you I'm cool, I'm not saying it because it's sexy. Like, I'm really mean. I'm cool, bro.
You can't be doing that good, right?
Yeah, like, no, but we cool, bro. Yeah. I don't know how to tell you that. Like, everybody you see here, we're paying there comfortably and they're good. They're not living check to check. Like, I don't know what to tell you, bro.
I was going to go to the point where, like, you didn't start there, right? So you have the business acumen now. Yeah. But I know that the Steve Harvey situation helped mold that. So what are some of the examples? Because I know Kat was with you too over there, right?
Yeah, him and
so what are some of the things that you saw in that avenue that you brought to 85 South?
I'll go back even further.
Okay.
Before that, when I first moved back to Atlanta at like 22, 23, I was working for an agency out here that was doing television, film, sports, whatever the case is. So just to even see a CEO that's black, that's driving the Benz, that's wearing Jordans at 38 years old, that does something to your spirit, mm-hmm. that you can see that. And it was a smaller company, so you go from carrying coffee and getting trashed, and in 3 months, you running calls, or you running production sheets, or you running budgets. And it's really like a lot of us just haven't experienced stuff. So I was just able to experience stuff. I'm running million-dollar budgets at 24 years old. Mm. And you learn, like, oh, it's just money with most zeros. It's not hard. There's still accounting rules. There's still budgeting rules. Good business is good business, bro, with $10 or with $10 million. It's not really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you transition that from being able to work directly for Steve. And what that forces you to do is really understand the landscape. And you see these people, like these digital account managers that are like 60 years old, bro. Like, they're not, they don't know what they're talking about. And you got to be respectful, because, like, who is this 26-year-old kid? So you got to learn, you really learn the language more than you learn. Like, the business is the easiest part. You got to fight through egos to get what you need to get to
and
make
a lot of people
happen.
Celebrating their last victory. Man, well, you know, I did this, right?
Yeah, dog. Like, but what you learn from Steve, dog, is that I actually worked directly for his business partner, which was Rashawn McDonald. And that's who had done business with him for 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work with Steve Harvey when he's up an ungodly amount of money, you know, and he's like, dude, the best thing I'm gonna do for y'all is give y'all access and show y'all, and I trust y'all. So it goes from carrying his bags and boxes and coffee to like, yo, if Chad and Joe ain't with it, we ain't with it.
Mm.
So you got to make some real decisions, and you find out, you know, what you made of. You're going to make a couple mistakes, but you're going to win some. And you really learn from the mistakes. So just having that access, which is back to what Lo said, that's why people are around us. We don't get access to gatekeep access, you know. Like, the more we can share with everybody, the more we can uplift everybody, and a lot of us can stand independently and say more no's.
Yeah.
Because they take our creativity, package it up, and sell it back to us. It's wild to me how that works. There's people that have come to him and be like, I got this idea. And it's like, bro, this dude said this 6 months ago. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they'll fly you back to LA and re-pitch you your idea. Like, you mean the one I was telling you about?
Yeah.
That happened.
They do it. Hollywood is crazy,
got
bro.
Something like, perfect for you, Carlo.
I hate Hollywood, bro.
Like, I told you that last year.
Yeah, like, Hollywood will boldly attach themselves to, like, the source of what... They're like ticks, man. They're like parasites. It's crazy to me how that stuff works.
The best advice we got a lot of good advice, but somebody told us, shout out to Romeo Brown in Hollywood, actually. This was early in our podcast journey. He was like, yo, make sure y'all never let up, because what y'all got is dope. He's like, but somebody with a bigger platform will come,
yes,
take your idea, and then people think that you stole it from them.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the game, dude.
Hell
look
yeah.
At you with a straight face, dog.
That's why I don't like memes, bro. That's why I don't like memes. For real. Bro, every meme that I like is a joke that I said already.
Mm.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy. So when I see somebody like on my timeline post a meme of a that's like, nigga, let me show you where they got this from.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because
I want to sue them.
Yeah.
There's thousands of my jokes on fucking Instagram.
Y'all do a great job of repurposing content. What I mean was, like, when y'all was traveling, so y'all would do like a live show.
Right.
Right? That's a live show. And right. Then take the audio and put it on podcast outlets. Mm-hmm. Take the visuals and put it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Dig this. Those are two totally different audiences. Mm-hmm. You got people who can't sit and watch a video all day, but they can listen to it.
That's a fact. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Do you understand that a lot of this shit hits so different if you just heard it?
Mm-hmm.
It's some shit that you will hear on that episode 3 or 4 times to be like, damn, where the video? I want, because I know he went crazy right there.
Like, I see this moment.
Exactly. So we got a lot of people who work overnight in warehouses and drive trucks and secretaries and nurses at nurses stations and just like people you would never, like security guards all at these, you know, secret secure places where they like, I'm back here by myself, Los, check this out. I ain't supposed to even have my phone. And they send me these clips. Like, yeah. This one girl sent me a clip. She was getting some brain surgery, bro. Her whole head is open. And she's sitting there on the other side like, just watching my 85 self.
10 o'clock at Friday.
If I die, I got to go out with 85 self.
Yeah, that's
I'm telling you, I hope y'all doing the same. The audio and the video is two totally different.
Yeah, I want to talk. That's what you said was brilliant. And that's true. I was just having a conversation with Dave about that. And it's like, some people never watch YouTube.
Exactly.
Some people never listen to audio. It's the
and
same.
Then I think about how many people watch our show every Friday that don't have a YouTube account, mm-hmm. that can't log yeah. in, that can't subscribe, that can't even leave a comment. Mm-hmm. That I feel like that's probably the bulk of the audience.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And it's crazy. It's like for podcasters, that's multiple ways to get revenue. It's
you
like
might be giving them too much game. Y'all ain't got no commercial. Go to commercial. I ain't running y'all shit, but this has been a perfect place to drop a commercial.
Go to commercial.
But look, I'll say this too, dog. Like the days of manufactured celebrities gone. Mm. You know, because them people can in their brains they can touch you. They can
talk about that manufactured celebrity.
Yeah, so Hollywood is based on it's. There's a gatekeeper that green lights this stuff, that approves this stuff, that knights the new whoever. Same thing in the record industry. But, bro, at the press of a button and on your cell phone, you can touch millions and millions of people. And what you learn is, like, a lot of these people are overproducing stuff to say that they had a part of this creativity. It's like, if Kanye made 99% of the record, there's a dude in the album that's in the studio that's like, well, bro, I told you to say yeah right here so he can go tell his 25 partners. Well, I said yeah right there, bro. I'm the one that helped Kanye put that together. That's exactly how Hollywood works, you know, 9 out of 10 times. So, but what's happened is, like, eyeballs are decentralized. Entertainment is just purely based off of eyeballs. If you got eyeballs, we're going to put some advertising money next to it. The more eyeballs you got, the more advertising money you make, and then it spins off and trickulates the way it's supposed to trickulate.
Let me ask y'all this. Do you ever think about all the people that we can't reach just because of our demographic? Mm-hmm. Like, there are fucking billions of people who go online all day and stream shit. Drake just got 50 billion streams on Spotify. Think of how many of those people we could never reach, just no matter what we talk about. No matter what we do, they just not going to watch no niggas do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fact.
No, do you think that that's kind of a gift and a curse? Because it's like for us, I feel like I hate the fact that people would consider us as a black podcast or a black finance, because we're just black.
Right.
That doesn't make us just exclusive, just the only black people, but they do that.
That's why I was telling you last night, remember?
Yeah. They do that all the time. But it's like, but that has also helped propel us, because it's like we have such a large, that's like nobody else has that demographic. We tapped into a demographic that nobody else, no other business podcast has 85 South Shore. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think, like, on the flip side, we could potentially be losing a lot of people that for whatever reason just are not tuning in because we're two young black men. Yeah. But then it's like how many millions of people who was left out for years now have a voice and somebody that's championed them.
It becomes the sole reason why they are listening. It's like nobody's was talking to us. Now we got them.
If I'm y'all, I wouldn't even think about that, because what y'all have created, just like what we created, is community. And your community is going to support you, you know? But it's just in the digital space. But when y'all go do these shows, y'all are touching the people. Y'all are engaging with the people. Y'all are really taking people's phone numbers and emails. That goes way further than spending some ad money to get people to watch you. But a lot of these guys, back to centralized eyeballs and celebrity falling down, they don't build community. They're like this manufactured puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this version of them, and then when the lights goes off, they got to go be a human.
See, those are the people that have to get online and make apologies for shit.
Yeah.
Because if you fuck around and be yourself one day and you step outside of this character that people know you for, now you have to be apologetic and say, I'm sorry, I let my fans down.
Right.
I don't really feel like that. I'm talking to that lady. You know, like, what lady? What the fuck is you talking about?
Yeah. Seeking counsel.
Yeah. But, dog, like, I'm like, y'all, it's no different than, like, it's weird when I hear dudes be like, man, she don't like me because I'm like, bro, just go to the women that like you. Like, date women that like you. It's not that hard.
Go where you celebrate it.
But that's how I look at our community. Like, if you come to our audience, these dudes is laughing with people in wheelchairs. They're laughing with people that may have ailments or issues, old people, young people. But we feel like everybody's cousin.
Yeah, and they came to see us. That's what I love about when we go do live shows. It's just like, out of all the times in the studio or whatever you posting online, bro, you pull up in these people's city and these people pull up, these are the ones that shit really touched.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like at a point it becomes tough to turn the on switch or off switch, or like Los is Los wherever he's at? Or you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Cause like, and I'm just saying that sometimes like people might want you to always crack jokes, and it's like, you know
I'm
what?
Gonna do that anyway.
Just regardless.
Yeah, like people come up to me and they be like, "Hey man, I hate to interrupt you." Well, don't then. God damn it. Boy, you stupid. Yeah, I know. Bro, I'm serious. I'm eating money. What you want?
This lost in the middle of the mall selling cell phones, you know?
Yeah.
It just happens that we've learned how to do business and we put the business around it. That's it. Yeah.
So that makes it a benefit. There is no, this is who I am.
Well, that's what's so funny about working with DC, bro. Chad today, like, I'm like, this nigga is so me when I was his age.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always like, that nigga always like, his spirit is always like, it's just like revives me just to be around the younger energy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nigga, we got to be related because you're just as fucking crazy as I am. Yeah. Luckily, this was before all the social media shit, though. Mm. But I used to just sit there in the mall and just pick people off all day.
Man.
Literally.
All day, bro.
Hey, bro. Nah, you can't afford no phone. Go ahead. How'd you? Dead serious. Hey, come here. Let me give you a new case because that one, I ain't even going to charge you for this.
What was your break to get into comedy to become
I'm still waiting on it.
Mm-hmm. Tell you. But that's what I'm saying, dog. Like, them days is breaks. Is you create the breaks.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no more.
To meet my idea of a break, that's when you get a ridiculous amount of money for some shit you've been doing anyway. You've been doing movies, little independent shit, you know, people talk about it, play it on BET, and then you hit the lick, and they give you a 50-pack, just spit the M.
Yeah.
That's your big break, nigga. Mm-hmm. Getting another job ain't no fucking break. Hey, congratulations. Nigga, I auditioned 4 times for this shit. Ain't no congratulations. God didn't have, that wasn't God blessing me. If it would, he would have just called me and told me I was on there.
Yeah.
So create the break.
You got to create that shit, man.
Yeah, what I'm saying is these days it's easy because there's no gatekeeping, dog. Like, they can't, until they, like, gatekeep the internet, which that may happen one
bro,
day.
Bro, we literally sat here and watched somebody create their own destiny right in front of us. It's this lady. You probably seen on HBO. Her name is Issa Rae.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
She started a YouTube page channel with no followers.
That's a fact.
And made videos and said, this is going to be your next favorite show. She 5 seasons up.
Yeah, they ended it.
Come on, at 5 seasons up, you think she would have ever thought in her wildest dreams that she could one day be making the decision to be like, I don't want to do my show on HBO no more. Mm-hmm. You would have told her that 6 years ago, she would have been like, come on, man, let me upload this video right quick.
I remember Tyler Perry when he was doing plays, like same going thing to like, you know, like the Beacon Theater and like doing plays and things of that nature. And I remember that. And now he's running the world. He got his own compound.
Man, this man got the whole fucking
studio.
I
can't even call it that. I can't call it that.
That's a disservice. When you say studio, that's a disservice. People hear it, they're going to be like, oh, it's a nice moves at? No, nigga. He got a whole side of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Whole, you can see it on the whole exit.
Yeah, that's what I said. When we was driving, I'm like, yo, he has an exit. It says Tyler Perry Studios. Right. Like, that's the exit.
Man, check
that's different.
Tyler Perry got a whole city down there. If you ain't never been, go look at the buildings. Man, that man got 20 big-ass buildings with 15 studios in there.
Yeah.
He got offices. He got, man, everything
he
over
turned,
there.
He turned his whole set during COVID into a hotel for people to live so they can keep filming.
Exactly. He created his own bubble.
Yeah.
This man crazy.
He got a whole ecosystem, dog.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't have to participate in Hollywood if you don't want to.
He does not. I can't wait for him to call me to be in one of them movies so I can put one of them stupid ass wigs on. Tyler Perry.
You gonna put a wig on?
No. When he get my character together and he say, Los, put that little scrunchy afro on. I'm in now.
I feel like black comedians, especially the ones at the highest level.
No, I'm not talking about like a dress in a wig.
Oh.
I'm talking about like
not the dress in a
when
wig.
When he do the character and he say, hey man, this is a 70s piece.
I'm gonna need you to wear that little afro. Okay.
But Tyler, this shit don't look good on camera. It's all good, man. Trust me on this. I got the vision. I'm gonna do it.
How you feel about that though? Because that's a big thing for black comics. Dave Chappelle
refused.
Stood on his sword with that, like wearing that dress. And how you feel about that?
What you mean how I feel about that? You ain't about to set me up. The hell them people on my page. So you saying, can nobody wear dresses? What? Man, you do whatever the fuck.
No, we watch
hey,
it.
Hey, man, if any comedians out there, do whatever you comfortable doing. You ain't never let me down. You ain't never let me down.
Hey, man, follow your spirit.
Shit. Follow your spirit, nigga. Sure. Niggas been putting dresses on 50 years. Now it's fucked up when it's my turn to blow up. Nigga, all your favorite niggas done wore a dress.
That's a fact.
But what if that's the only way to get in? They like, Lowe's, they go, your check right here, nigga.
Get that dress.
Put that motherfucking bustier on, nigga.
Bustier.
Big Mama South 7.
Have a nigga out there with some titties.
Not me, but somebody gonna do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody gonna do it, bro. I'm telling, I don't want it that bad.
Okay.
That's just me personally, though. I don't want it that
That's
bad,
what I was saying. Bro. I'm like, I couldn't see you.
Nah, you couldn't. Nah, that ain't me. That ain't for me, bro. They got other niggas who would be way better in a dress. I'm talking about these niggas do this shit for free. Why would you want me? Like, you should get somebody who got practice doing that shit, bro. You don't want me doing that shit. I got to figure this out. I'm all uncomfortable and shit. Mm-mm. Let a nigga who do that do that. I'm not the one you need for that role. Trust me. I'll take the other role where the nigga gets shot in the opening credits. Give me your... You ain't seen me? I was riding it.
Opening credits.
The nigga in the dress, he wasn't shit. I know, but you see where I died? I was,
That's acting. They don't need me for the dress part.
There you have it. Podcast Network.
It's too great.
How'd that come about? You're producing shows for people now, right?
Oh, yeah. That was Los's idea. I'd be lying if I said that was mine. One thing I love this
nigga. He never take credit for my shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Every time we try to give Los credit, he's like, yo, Chad been talking to y'all again? Like, don't be telling him everything. Yeah, I'm like, yo, he's saying like, yo, this guy's the one's coming up with these ideas.
That's because we literally talk, man. Like, I know I call him 3 times a day at least, and he called me at least 2 or 3 times a day because we always bouncing shit back and forth.
Yeah, we about to create a new group chat.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Chad, we got you.
Stock options going crazy.
Need some option plays.
Y'all on that Clubhouse shit?
Nah, I'm not on that.
Sometimes, but yeah,
I'm not. Shady be on there a little bit.
I don't understand it.
Clubhouse?
Yeah.
It's like the party lines. Remember the party lines in the 90s?
Yeah.
He was young then. Party line used to be able to just pick up your phone and it'd be like your house phone. It'd be people on there just talking.
Just call somebody.
Nah, that's what was the cold part about it. Uh-huh. Like people who lived out talking in like rural areas and shit, just pick up the phone. Like you could just literally just pick up your phone and there'd be people, 3-4 people on there talking.
That's weird.
You remember that shit?
It's a fact.
I remember my grandma had it at her house and we'd leave the phone off the hook sometime. It would never make that look. It'd just be like, hello? I damn sure remember party lines, bro. I'm that old. I remember when everybody first started switching to cordless phones.
Ooh, yeah.
That was the biggest flex ever, nigga. Don't let a nigga have a cordless phone.
You had to.
I'm down the street, nigga.
You had the rope that stretched from the kitchen to the living room.
Yeah.
The rope.
You used that phone when the cordless phone died.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. I got to switch.
Bring the phone from the kitchen all the way to the back of the house. Country shit.
What were you saying, bro?
Oh, I was going to say, I'm probably not going to get on Clubhouse. Twitter and Instagram don't work.
He ain't a real
done,
talkative type of person, cool. Bro.
Yeah, he said no to this. I said, nah, you got
to
do it.
I told him to do it. I was like, bro, you better bring your ass over there. Yeah.
So, Los, it was your idea to start producing shows for other people?
Well, I had a few friends and that like kept hitting me and they was like, you know, they was asking me without, you know, necessarily asking for help. You get what I'm saying? And it's like, sometimes you just see some shit like Chad said, you see some shit that don't require you to fuck with it. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, that shit is already good as it is.
Yeah.
I liked it. Like, this is some shit that I could see myself consuming. So that's why I was like, bro, maybe we could use our infrastructure for some of these, you know, we know the process of how to get this or, you know, we turn this down. But this might actually be suitable for that.
Yeah.
But this may work if they had this exposure. Yeah. And it's all about those little tweaks. Like, it's not about trying to make nobody fake shit. So sometimes you run across some shit that you can actually fuck with and you can actually help.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? For us as a company too, we've always built this as a media company, and the podcast was the first IP or property that you saw come from the media company. But it took us, you know, 4 or 5 years to get comfortable in creating a template for that. So now that we've, you know, 5 years later, we can say, hey man, this is where you are. This is the clay that you are. Let us help mold you, but we can show you the way and you'll get there much faster.
No, I'm glad you said that, because I remember one of the things that you said to me that really stuck out is when we first met.
Right.
You said, yo, stop calling your show a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't do that. And that's how they devalue you.
Yep.
Yeah, you look at that podcast over there. Here's $10. Like, bro, this is a whole production. Bro, you see all these people we pay?
Yeah. Yeah. And you was like, yo, we call it 85 South Show. And then after that, I told Mike, I said, yo, take podcasts off everything that we have. Never have podcasts, anything. And then Dame, I said podcast. And Dame was like, why are you calling your show a podcast? Yeah. I thought it was a show. And I'm like, yo, that's a reminder. So talk about that a little bit. Like early on, branding it, not for podcasters out there.
But bro, it's back to like, okay, when I was working for Steve, obviously you see Family Feud, you see the talk show and et cetera. But you didn't know he had like 8-minute clips that was on Facebook. That's a whole nother level of content that people are putting their eyeballs to. So since there's eyeballs, there's dollars attached to it. Like I'm watching baseball. I watch baseball playoffs on Twitter. And that's when I realized, yo, they don't even know how to gauge eyeballs anymore because Nielsen only reports on television. But bro, people are watching TV on YouTube. They watching it on their phone. They watching it on their iPad. They watching it in their cars. They watching it at the airport. They're watching it on the airplane. Content is content. And our eyeballs, like we are media minds. Your average consumer just like, I want to watch something. They don't know where it's coming from. So I'm saying that to say, if 85 South Media is the company, we get out the 85 South show. That's just one thing that we produce. The tour is a whole separate experience. And now we're rolling out more shows, more podcasts. So when they know, when I come to the 85 South Media production or company or network, I know that this speaks to me. This community speaks to me, you know? So that's what made it easy for us. We understood that we were a company first. Even like with Lowe's, like we don't treat, like Fly and Lowe's don't act like talent. They're executives that are producing this show. I just happen to be talent and executive on this side. So that the people on the other side, they know how to talk. This is, Lowe's isn't a talent that's tripping. This is a producer that understands this format. This is an executive that can speak on behalf of a company.
And that was one thing that I was going to make sure that I told to, you know, the people who are listening, or people who want to get in the podcast space or the digital space, period, is to find a mediator. You got to find somebody like Chad who doesn't mind taking phone calls all day, or who, you know, can execute and follow up and get there before the talent gets there. You like, you need a team around. It ain't necessarily got to be, hey, that's the dude and I pay him. That don't change shit. Like, you could be paying a motherfucker, but like, do they care about the integrity of what you're about to do? Like, people have to put more integrity into their work, because at the end of the day, you don't want your shit to be just some shit that was thrown together and then you see some nice shit and be like, we need to do that. It's too late at that point. By the time you realize where you've been fucking up at, it's too late.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny piggybacking off of what he said, for the longest, just because of the nature of our relationship, we have like a big brother, little brother relationship. Everybody was like, yo, you need to be his manager. Lose would be like, bro, you can't work for me and I can't work for you, because we'll never be on the same page. This is ours. And we're both going to treat this with the same integrity, the same respect, the same love, because it's ours.
I told this nigga for 3 years, I said, you don't want to work for me. Mm-hmm. You want to work with me.
Yep.
I tell him, they like, come on, man. I'm like, bro, no, stop.
Yeah,
you bigger than this, son. You bigger than this.
Look
at me. You can be anything you want to be. I just don't want to see you out here being my manager.
Yeah. So, yeah, y'all got 85 South Media, but y'all also got some other ventures, man. And I want to highlight that and tell me how the venture came about. Good Day Sense. How did we get it? That was him again? This him again?
Look, let me tell you something. 18 years old, man. 18 years old, me and Los work together. I go to school and I come back for the summer because I was playing ball, but I was injured all the time and I was ready trying to figure out life. Yeah. Los like, bro, I can get you a job. He got me another job. So Los has been getting me jobs for a very long time. Like, I can't even act like.
It's my man's, man.
Damn.
Like,
okay.
It's a real, like, I'm telling people, like, this is my partner.
Yeah.
You know? And I got no problem giving credit to where it's due. It's not hard for me.
Yeah.
But the candle thing, Los is in the candles, bro. Like, that's not a joke. Unfortunately,
it's not a joke.
Our P.O. box is 68% candles, bro. People sending us all kind of smell.
And I like, burn them.
I'm like, Los, ain't
I'm
no
glad you said it, because that mean they, when they hear it, they're going to send me some more.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, like, ain't no ingredients on this. We don't know what people don't put into this, but this dude going to take it and try them all out.
I got a confession. This is one of my, one of those entertainer guilty pleasures. I love when people send us shit to the P.O. box.
Yeah.
We got some of the dopest fans. Mm-hmm. They send us all kinds of shit. They send us socks, shoes, candles, but candles have always been my thing. Mm. And then I was online. I did this thing on Twitter where I like every like once a month or every so often I'll do a black business thread. So I have people, they'll send their business and they, you know, how to buy, how to purchase or websites, and I'll buy a bunch of shit. But then it's like, and then I realized I can't be giving all these people my address. So right. I start having them send all this shit to the P.O. box.
Yep.
So then I noticed, I was like, Chad, man, where my candles at? And he's like, oh, yeah, me and my lady took them. I was like, stealing my shit.
Quit touching shit.
Yeah. So basically somebody submitted some that Los Love. He actually did his own collaboration with him. And he wanted to get serious about the business. He was like, bro, go vet this out. So we vetted it out. You know, put some things in order.
Yeah.
And then even we was like, let's source it. Like let's send it out to a couple people. Like, we never get bad responses when people get the candles. They post or they want more.
Right.
We was like, yo, I think this can be something legit.
Yeah.
Let's jump into it. So it was not.
So it was an existing company already?
Yeah. Like, I don't.
Very small. Yeah.
It's a young man by the name of Jeremy Brooks. He's an entrepreneur. He's a hustler. He goes hard. Dope. He's a huge fan of y'all, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he hit me up in the DM. I was like, yo, bro, I'm lighting this candle right now.
Yeah, no, JB's A1. And he came to, and what's dope is people come to me in Los all the time, dog.
With business ideas?
Yeah,
and I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, he is. Like, he want to get invested in so many things.
Yeah.
Like, but this can we talk about that?
But he came, he was like, yo, I got the product. I got, like, he was breaking it down. He flew into Atlanta on his own dime.
Yeah.
Sat with us. Well, we was at the crib about 4 or 5 hours. This is what I want to do this year. I want to do this next year. That's where I see us in 5 years. Los, this is your part of what I need from you. Chad, this is what I need from you. And that was it. I just need XYZ. Are y'all in?
So,
like, nobody's ever come to us like that before.
I'm glad you said that.
We had no choice.
That brings up a good point, because it happens all the time when people come to managers or financial advisors of a celebrity.
Right.
And they pitch ideas. It happens very frequently.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they get shot down. So people pitch you ideas a lot of times. What makes a good pitch and what makes a bad pitch? For just people, entrepreneurs that might not know, like, they think like, yo, listen to my CD. Like, they're saying, like, what do you want to see? What do you don't want to see?
This is one thing I've learned about shit like that, whether it be music or candles or anything, anybody who's trying to get you to buy into what they're selling. It's like, if you can see the passion in this person and you can see, like, if you did this by yourself with no financial backing, just ideas, and you actually have something that you could physically put in people's hand, That's half the battle right there.
Yep.
Everybody got million-dollar ideas. Anybody could talk your head off. But it's the execution when you can put some shit from your mind to a piece of paper to the physical world. That makes people believe in you. And then when they see, oh, that ain't just the dude who I saw hustling T-shirts over there. That nigga be over here. He be over there. Like, you see it in some people's eyes that they're going to be successful with or without you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, Chad will tell you, people, when they come to us, they don't ask us for money or shit up front. They want to be in the network. They want to be exposed to the people that we exposed to.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes a lot of these people who come up with ideas and they want to do collabs and stuff like that, we try to see, what have you done by yourself?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, what can you put in my hand?
So,
like, if we ask you to send something, how long is it going to take?
Right.
Like, can we fly you here? Will you show up? It's like, it's been so many people that we've come across with great products or great ideas, but it's like they follow up and shit. They don't know how to talk to people, or they work when they want to work. They let orders pile up, but they'll send them out. Oh, I'll do it when I get 50. What about the people who've been waiting 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what's your follow up? Like, what's your determination? What's your passion?
That was one of the things that Chad was speaking to us when he was talking about, yo, I'm rebranding the merch. And we were talking about, yeah, we're trying to do the same thing. It's like, there's a fine balance.
Yeah.
You don't want to have too much, and then you don't sell it, and you don't want to have too, you don't want to have enough, and then you sell out and people still want their things. And so there's a fine balance. But I want to go back to the part when you're talking about being a serial entrepreneur. When people present the business ideas, are we looking at this first as 85 South Media, or we're saying, like,
I always try to keep 85 South out
separate?
Because I was like, nobody wants to be signed to you.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They want to be on the level, but don't nobody want you to tell them what to do. And I'm the type of person in the chat, we're so busy, it's not like we don't want to take your shit from you. Mm-hmm. We don't want to own your company.
Right.
But if I spend some money with you, I need to know that it's going to be some kind of return. If I give you $1,000 and you give me $1,005, I want to see that me and you made $5 together.
Right, right, right.
You get what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
It's not about the amount. It's about, like, nigga, is it going to be worth it? I could take 2 weeks to fuck with you, or three, or whatever it is that you need, but it's like, what are we doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? Like, I could call some people that might write you a check, but they gonna want their shit. They gonna want to see what their check went to.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's people that I would tell you like this. I believe in servicing first. You know, I believe in trying to do for somebody before you ask for something. You know, and I don't really like people having too many favors over my head. So I try to be so insulated and so independent that I ain't got to ask for nothing.
Right. And that's what we try to push to these people.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want us to come through and rebrand your shit and make it ours or be a part of this. We want to see you stand alone and say, if it means more to me to say, I helped you than to pose, you know, like I owned your shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have no desire to put people in these deals where they can't live. That's not.
Well, they be like, well, man, they got all the money. Man, I'm not trying to take nothing from you. Like,
yeah, right.
You know? But I look at it like, so the business side of it is the genius thing I learned from Steve Harvey was simple, bro. When I was working for him, he had a radio station that touched 7 million people a week. So, but if you look at his resume, he's got highest rated shows. He's got movies that have gone, you know, box office hits. He's got books that are number one bestsellers. He understood his community, and he just kept serving his community through books, through audio, through movies, through film, through television. So you don't have to go out there and do that extra stuff. If you got an insulated ecosystem, like my woman loves candles, you know, everybody loves candles. Well, why don't we have our own candle company? And I'm at the point now, I'm just trying to replace all the stuff I spend money on, you know?
Right.
So that's really what it comes down to me.
I mean, especially when you're in the business of sales, like people always want to find the next big thing. It's like, what would you spend your money on? You know what I'm saying? Like, look around your house. What are you buying over and over and over again?
So that now I'm going back to thinking about being at the studio. 85 Vibe, is this where?
Yeah. So that I don't.
Well, check this out. Like when we all together and we traveling, like we all want to be like, man, you heard this? Or we all put each other up on music.
That happens all the time.
Like I remember when Ari Lennox album came. I made everybody listen to it. I'm talking about all them 20 people. I literally made everybody.
This dude would call at 9 in the morning like, hey, what's up, bro? You got any updates? Nah, what's up? I'm just making sure. You listen to the album, right? I'm like, bro, it's 9 a.m., bro. I'm going to get to it.
Listen to the Jasmine Sullivan joint?
Yeah. Cool. Not the whole album, just the one with Ari Lennox.
Oh, that's the
I love Ari Lennox. I'm sorry. She didn't block me. No, she didn't block me. She unfollowed me. Because I got into an argument with Lil Twist.
It happened.
About who was the biggest Ari Lennox.
Cash Money?
Yes. Me and Lil Twist was arguing about who is the biggest Ari Lennox fan on her live one day, and she unfollowed both of us.
Damn. At least she was fair.
She's such an Aries.
Good song and a great album.
Dude, nuts.
It's good. Song. I still really, love it.
Ari, we really want you on 80 Vibe if you watch the show.
So that came about of our love for music and weirdo stuff. And we figured we have the platform, we have the infrastructure. And then we got DC who makes dope ass music. We got Chico who makes dope music. Ain't nobody heard it, but he got some dope shit in the vault.
Yeah,
and he does.
Yeah, talented, no man. Not nobody, talented. Yeah. Talented.
Yeah.
He got a few joints that he just did, you know, in his leisure.
He could just go perform that Busta Rhymes verse everywhere he go.
And he will. Don't think he won't. So look, but we all got a love for music. That's why we really
created. Yeah, but and like so like if you watch it was always weird for me. You watch what's that show? Tiny Desk Concert.
Yeah.
You got somebody like Ari Lennox or Erykah Badu, but you look into the audience and you like, okay, they're not really
their fan base.
You know, this is weird, you know. So how do we create something? Because production is important. Like, it's easy for y'all to do y'all show because your director's black, your audio is black, your business partners are black. That gives you a level of comfort. It's no different than walking into class and you're like, where the black people at? Or you walking in the gym, you're like, okay, there's black people. We straight.
The comfort level.
Community, right? So we wanted to create a show that felt like Unplugged, our version of it. And what's dope is you're going to see Young Dro, and you also going to see a new up-and-coming artist. And these are people that Akeem we're actually...
Akeem
Ali, you're going to see Currency.
Deuce.
People that we're... these people are in our playlist. These are people we're really fans of. We want to celebrate music the way we feel like it should be celebrated.
Yo, right.
And we didn't want nobody to feel like you're a puppet. Like,
right.
We just heard about Akeem Ali. Sing and dance for us. You know how that looks.
Akeem Ali came on 80 Vibes and smashed it.
Crazy.
That's crazy. That we crazy. We were just speaking with Ryan Wilson.
Pull
he's
it
like,
up.
He's like, yeah, you got to hit this guy. You got to hit this guy.
Yeah, A1.
Oh, okay.
But, but that's what it's for. And then again, Los and Chico and Fly, they're not going to make anybody uncomfortable. We want to uplift you and put you, they're just throwing oops to all these artists to make them comfortable. We don't want you to feel like you dancing on the table, bro. Like, it'll never be that for us.
Yeah, but I, like, we got a lot of people that we know personally that are artists on that side of music who wanted a platform. Like who like, man, I want to come kick it with y'all. I want to get on the couch. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, go on, drop one of them songs or something. Yeah. We set up. We got a band right here. So it made sense to make sense.
Mm-hmm. But even with the band, like, our goal this year is to rebrand them as our version of The Roots, you know? So we can do live albums with some of these artists. We want to launch 85 South Records or whatever we call it. And Chico be the president of that A&R albums.
Don't give him too much. Come on, baby.
Lowe's, how'd you get into stocks?
How did I get into stocks? Let me see. My introduction to stocks was the Bitcoin boom. Okay. Probably, what was that?
Like 2017?
Yeah.
We was there.
Yeah. It was probably like at the end piece of 16, though.
Okay.
Because my guy had been telling me, man, buy this. And I was like, all right. So I bought a lot of it. And I was like, oh, shit. And then you remember that one day where that shit just like went.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I got all my money out of it. Not all of it. I lost a little. Ooh, I got the remaining money. And I was like, this is too volatile. This is too quick. Woo, this is quick. So I started making like these, I got the Robin Hood joint and I started just buying like, you know, the shit that of course that they all, you should buy stock in Nike, you should. So I started with the, you know, some lower end shit. And then I found this, it was like this mineral company. It was probably like 7 cents a share. And then I bought a gang of it. And then in like a year, that shit shot up so much. I ended up making about 15, 20 off of that. And I was like, yo, wait,
moment of silence. He just told us about some numbers. He never talks numbers.
This is old.
Okay.
But I'm saying, just for me, like, with no knowledge, like, not having to talk to nobody, and it's just like, I better hurry up and cash this out, because this went from, like, 9 cents to, nigga, some racks.
Yeah.
So that shit just went crazy. And I was like, I'm in forever. So, I took that bread and I bought some Netflix and some Amazon.
Netflix.
Some Google. You know, the alphabets.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing, like, okay, if you do this, so that's what really, so, you know, end of 2016.
How'd that feel time. Like? Because I know you obviously was working.
Oh, I thought I was a genius. Like, I'm buying stocks and making money. Ain't nobody told me shit. I thought I was a genius. Literally. So I started getting the education, checking out some podcasts, and start watching Shark Tank like crazy. Man, anything with the money, I started trying to get my education up about it.
Yeah.
Because I always knew one day I wanted to have a whole lot of it. And it's like, I needed to start building the house for it to live in. So that's one, like, people always talk about financial literacy. Man, you have to know what to do with the money when you get it, how to spend it, how to invest it, what to spend it on. And I've that's been my whole crash course with it. And really had no formal, you should do this, no insider trading and no shit. But for the little bit of knowledge that I did acquire and accumulate, I still function off of it. But that was my introduction to it. They fucked up when they let me make a return. Yeah.
Once you saw green, it was over.
Because after I started, I was like, man, this don't happen. What they sell? These the niggas who put the glue on the fucking mascara thing, and oh, this company gonna go. They sell zippers in China and shoestrings. I be buying all kind of stupid ass stuff. Like, nigga, I gotta buy Q-tips. People gonna have ears. I gotta invest in Johnson & Johnson. Motherfucker gonna have ears and feet forever. Babies are born every day. Johnson & Johnson cannot fail. Babies gotta wash their hair. What they gonna wash the baby with when it come out the coochie? Johnson & Johnson.
Good point.
No, that's a fact. And that's something I set up. We got a stock show called Market Money. I said that, like, it's addicting. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you start to see some success in it, and it's
I got my money tied up in socks. Niggas always going to have feet.
That's a fact.
You got socks?
Socks.
Okay.
I got 85 South socks.
You got some?
Mm-hmm.
Send you some more. But, man, Chad, to tell you, I've pushed to have 85 South show everything from styrofoam cups to socks, keychains, panties, diapers, onesies.
Ashtray. I got that.
Ashtray.
I got that.
I'm always looking for somebody to make me a dope ashtray. I want somebody to make me a big ass ashtray, man. I'm tired of my shit knocking over. Blunts, lighters. It's just whatever it is that I need or use in my life, I want it. I want my logo on it.
Hey, create
that's
your
just
own.
It. Yeah. And that's just luckily I had enough people that loved me and us to support some of this shit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like the merch. You want to talk about the merch?
We always talk about the merch. That's been a whole, that ain't have shit to do with the podcast. Like, that was a whole crash course for everybody. Chad spent a lot of countless nights trying to figure
Chad,
that shit
yeah,
out.
Chad, talk about the merch, because you helped us out. You gave us some counsel with our merch. Merch is something, it's not as easy as it looks.
Ooh.
It's extremely complicated. Yeah. It's a headache. It's a hassle. It can be extremely profitable, extremely unprofitable.
Yeah.
It's everything.
That's all in your approach.
Emotional situation.
Well, for merch for us, it's like a two-part thing. The first 2 years, it really kept us independent. So you got to pay for Airbnbs and travel and whatever and pay people. That's what it was for us. So Los
supplemental
really,
income.
Yeah, he changed my mentality on it. Like, it's another billboard for us.
Yeah.
So if somebody's wearing that hoodie, they're going to ask where you got it from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And that comes from the comedy world, believe it or not, because when you're an amateur comedian and you're taking shows on the road, the way you supplement the income is you sell merch and T-shirts and DVDs. And, you know, you want that to be, that's your travel money, the money that you hustled up, you know, off the hand to hand. You don't never want to touch your show money or the check that they wrote you. You always want to make sure that this is where you're making your living. Because this is, ain't no overhead. You bought all this already. So whatever you spent on this merch or these 100 CDs or these 20 T-shirts, like, that's the money that you're making.
Yeah. So the first 2 years, it kind of funded the scaling of the operation, if that makes sense. And then I think I'd say about last year or year before that, we decided, let's make this needs to be another line of business that you treat independently of the actual production. So then this is when I started making the trips to LA, understanding cut and sew fabrics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we treat now, like, as we're rebranding our merchandise right now, and our goal is to be able to say, once we're done on the other side of it, give us about another month. But the goal is to create the team to where we have a creative director, we got a brand director. And this line of business services 85 South Show so that we can essentially service other clients. Because the collaboration game is what they do is they'll give you a check and then they'll mark up whatever. Where I want to be able to say is, hey, we'll pay wholesale, let us control the creative, and then we'll do our own markups. So we're creating our, we'll call it, you know, 85 apparel merchandise design and creative to where if we got a By Any Means project, there's a whole product line that comes with that. If we got an 80 Vibe project, there's product line that comes with that. I look at us, like my mentality is now, we somewhere between a mixture of Master P and Walt Disney. So if you look at everything that Disney does, they got an idea, IP, they put that in film or animation, and now there's rides and there's toys and there's merchandise.
Whole rollout.
It's a whole rollout, and this is a whole line of business that lives separate of everything else, but it lives under the umbrella of Disney, you know? So that's how we look at merchandise. Now it's a company that services 85 South Show, it services Carlos Miller, it services DC Young Fly.
And it's just phase one. Wait till we really figure it out.
We're not even really where we want to be at yet.
Is there a time when you decide, like, all right, now it's time to rebrand, or what's the determining factor in the rebranding process?
For us, it was trademarking.
Yeah. Okay.
We started jumping too hard, and they was like, hey, man, that's how I tomahawk.
Yeah. Start getting, you know, some of the
that
stuff.
That ain't the Braves.
And some of y'all know, like, you can do some stuff domestically, but when you're shipping some stuff from overseas, they got to go through customs, and they got to go through their scanning process. And it's like, hey,
but
man,
it just feels good sometimes when you know you're making waves and they sing, hey, man, it goes cease and desist. We ain't going to sue you yet.
Yeah. But then even if you look at BET, we put like a lot of those samples out there so people can get a taste for it.
Yeah.
Even like on a podcast, some of the stuff hanging up. But COVID has slowed down. I'm sure y'all know this. Like, it's from manufacturing to development to production to shipping, bro. It's been.
Ain't that right, Ben?
It's a headache, bro. It's like, you can do everything right and it still ain't right.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. You just got to roll with the punches.
Valuable lessons learned.
We're definitely going to go head first into that merch game, though.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to all the 85%ers that have been supporting since the first T-shirt, though.
Yeah.
And it's like the push from the fans when they come to your show and they like, man, what else you got for sale? I done bought everything, man.
That's crazy.
We ain't got shit else new. Well, I'm going to buy four more of them bitches anyway. You know what I mean? It's like.
Different level.
Yeah, because people want that story that's attached to it.
Yeah.
And they want, like you said, they want to feel like they're a part of your movement. Yeah. So it ain't possible without them. Like, we got loyal fans and loyal followers that's been pushing us and be like, hey, man, call my cousin, man. Yeah. Hey, this dude right here can get y'all these. And one dude was like, man, let me just tell Los, I'm going to send him a whole, I'm going to give him this old school if he just let me sell the merch at my store in Alabama. And I was like, what? He was like, look, I'm going to give you the car. Send me 4 boxes of hoodies. You understand me? It's your car. I was like,
did you send it to him?
I didn't because I like I didn't because I was like
well, I did another old school.
You didn't I didn't want that on my conscience, man. Cause I didn't want somebody to hit me 2 weeks later and be like, you dead ass wrong for making that deal with my brother.
My uncle see
you
now.
You know my brother crazy. My he on them pills, man. He done gave you my mama car.
Yeah. But hey, Troy, I'll say this too, dog. Like, it's funny, like, how people receive Master P now. Like, he's like, they don't know that he was really moving units. People younger than us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Fiend said they made $400 million in 3 years.
Like, yeah. That's we can't even fathom that.
Different level.
So Los's thing is like, bro, we doing this out the trunk, but like in the digital space.
Yeah.
So P talks about product all the time, but he's doing rice or whatever. That's not sexy sometimes. But dog, there's only so much work we can put in 24 hours.
But one thing we know about P, if he's selling anything, he's researched that. So if this man's selling rice and noodles, that means that the rice and noodle game is a $1 billion industry.
And he's thinking, 1%.
If I jump in there and I make 10 million,
I'm straight.
Yeah. And I'm about to own it.
Yeah. And so what I've also learned in being in a lot of these rooms, that they don't deem you valuable enough to be in, but you know you're in them now. You learn that like the game that they play is they're looking at what runs the fastest and they're planting as many seeds as possible. So if you got 10 seeds planted, one's going to be out of here, two of them going to take their time, but eventually they all going to sprout. So we got merchandise, we got IP, we got product, we have network and talent that we're getting invested into, even real estate. And like all this stuff raises everybody's value.
Yeah.
So that you know, when you sleep, merchandise is still doing what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
You know, or good. Equity's doing what it's supposed to do. And then you learn the game of leveraging.
Y'all got some nice merch your damn self. Yeah, these are tops and bottoms, ain't no
tops and bottoms.
You'll be going home with them today.
Yeah, man. Appreciate. I like the quality, man. Some nice double stitching. You see this?
They doing anything?
Shit pops, man.
Shout out to the merch team.
Appreciate it, man.
They're here with us.
They got a whole operation.
I know. I'm familiar.
I mean,
I know what goes on.
We don't have a factory yet, but you know,
we don't either.
Hopefully one day.
We don't either.
We'll send some to the P.O. box.
Please hook me up, man. Hook me up.
So what's next? What's the vision for 85? Media, which
am I allowed to actually say it, or you want me to give the interview version?
Go ahead, man.
EY exclusive.
No, don't give them the sauce. Just tell them what we might. Just say some. Man, we working on a country music album. Yeah. Doing some production for Lady Gaga. Okay. Nah, we working on. We trying to get to the movie space. Like I feel like that's the ultimate. You know what I mean? Like we want to get into some movies and some TV shows and take the whole BET Hip Hop Awards experience to another platform.
That was fun.
You get what I'm saying?
That was fun. Yeah.
I felt like that was a worldwide audition for us, just to show them that we're responsible enough to be trusted with a production this big.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to capitalize off that, and then we want to replicate what Tyler Perry got going on.
Yeah.
We want a studio, and things of that nature, and a few deals, and some digital. Go ahead, Chad.
Chad wants it.
I'm trying to over-talk him so he don't think. Well, you know, we actually close.
Chad won't give it away. Chad, give it away for him, man.
Don't give it away.
I wasn't going to say that. We just put out our first independent film, our first independent comedy film. It's called By Any Means. You can go to 85 South
Shore. Who's in it?
Starring Carlos Miller, written by Carlos Miller, produced by Carlos Miller, directed by Joseph Newman. But you can, that's our first foray into the independent space of putting out feature films and direct-to-consumer products, et cetera, et cetera. And it's doing pretty well. So we're working through the By Any Means six-month project, and then we want to be able to license out that content as well. And like Lo said, getting the independent films. We actually just closed on our first commercial real estate.
Yeah, man. Congratulations on that.
Congratulations.
So we're going to have
a... Love it up.
Yeah.
I was saving it. I wasn't going to say nothing. I was going to wait until I got in there, and I was going to go live, and I was going to talk shit, and I was going to call everybody
a
bunch of bitches.
This is like a very specific audience, so it's all good.
About to get real disrespectful, but so, you told them.
So you got a factory?
Yeah.
I got one.
Man.
Yeah.
I was going to stand actually like my... I was going to start at like the loading dock. And I was going to go all the way to the front door, just talking shit, popping champagne, an empty building. Yeah, I was just, man, that's gonna be the first shit.
We just picked up the keys this week. Yeah. So we getting into animation. We about to partner with some animation.
Ooh, we got a dope ass cartoon.
Yeah, we got it. We actually have a cartoon we've already developed, but now we're gonna
Roach Motel.
Feature film.
Roach Motel?
Yeah, I want everybody to check
it out. Go check that out. Starring Los Fly.
We just been dropping clips up until now. And we got some kind of long form content. But the shit is so dope. And it's like, now we're just building it and trying to get it out. Shout out to DJ Filthy Rich.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get over there across the street. No, y'all on 8th, so it's right over there. The Cartoon Network is actually one street over.
Yeah.
So we would talk to
you. You giving us our location? You ought to let a drop on us. Boy, it's on 8th and 7th. The Turner building is right around the corner. There's a gas station five blocks away.
I mean, you're in my city.
Just hit the dump button.
Yeah. No, just tell me, earn your leisure. Don't let you out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but just as a company, we're playing more executive and producer this year. That's our plan. We still got a tour that's on hold. COVID slowed that down.
Yeah.
So when we can pick the tour back up, we'll be running full speed with that. But in the meantime, we're building the infrastructure. We're going to be hiring soon.
We're going to keep putting these episodes out. We're going to keep getting in the studio. We're going to keep making dope ass shows. And we're going to keep trying to feed the fans and create new content. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're going to keep helping independently owned businesses. We're going to keep creating and bringing our partners up and jumping on podcasts and earning our leisure and all
that. Earning our 85.
Sleep is for suckers. Shout out to my man David over there. I thought he was in here with us, man. Nigga been holding it down for a minute.
That's a fact.
Hell yeah.
Y'all added that to the network, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Sleep is for suckers.
But dog, I would tell y'all, man, like, I'm
so... Bro, we got to get David on the show, man.
Easy,
you got to come for our Black Business Expose.
That's done.
Come and lace us with some game.
But I tell y'all,
nigga, I know eat the big bag of Doritos. I'm like, this nigga, we talk all that shit, but he still got vices. That nigga loves Doritos. He better invest in them, man.
Dorito Dave.
I'll tell y'all, bro, like, I'm such a supporter of y'all and anybody that's creating anything that they can control and own, because, like, think about the 90s, bro. We was watching everything from Martin to Jamie Foxx show, and there was a palette of things for us to watch and experiences. And I think, like, a new age of media creators are, you know, are evolving.
Oh, check this out. I got to say this while we on here, because you brought up the 90s and that shit, bro. People don't understand that the dude Jaleel White, and this dude was killing shit in the 90s. Man.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This nigga he had the Family Matters show. He had Urkel. Nigga had the cereal. This nigga was the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Like,
he had the game
in a whole chokehold. Yeah. So that's
Where did that come from?
Because when he was bringing up all the shit we was watching, I'm like, niggas is... I mean, I'd be high. I'd be like, niggas be sleep on Jaleel White. That nigga like a billionaire in my mind.
You know what's so crazy? When he's a big supporter. So he tagged us, and I'm like, yo, Urkel. I'm like, Jaleel White. They're like, yo, that's monumental. I'm like, yo, that's OD monumental.
Man, come on.
Shout out to Jaleel
Monumentous.
White.
Monumentous. Fucking right.
Carlos, one last question before we wrap this up. Is that your real name, Carlos?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. In the South, Killer Mike's middle name is Santiago. Your name is Carlos.
Yeah.
Are you Mexican? Like, half Mexican? How did that
make you Mexican? I'm mixed.
Mixed for what?
I'm half nigga, half black. No, my daddy a real nigga, and my mother a strong black woman. So
mix them together.
Yeah, I'm mixed.
Carlos, there you have it. So what would y'all like to tell the people?
What would I like to tell the people? Keep people mouth off your privates.
Edit that out.
No, I'm just... Nah, man. I would tell people for real.
Oh,
Don't never stop pursuing your dreams, man. As long as you got breath in your body and you still got the passion to do something. Because I know it's like, it's a lot of people out there who have a dream right now and they sleeping on it every night and that shit is killing them. It's like, it's taking, that's the shit that's keeping them up all night. Like, just knowing that you have something great inside of you and you trying to repress or suppress that so you can live in the bubble that you're comfortable in, getting, going to work, getting that check every week and living, you know, the life that you live. But it's, everybody got a purpose, man. And once you pursue your passion, that's when you really living. And it's not just about money or a dollar amount. It's like when you out there in the world and you're doing what you want to do and you're pursuing your passion and your dreams, no amount of money can replace that. Like that's the extent of living. And that's what they really mean when they say freedom, man.
Yeah, that's it.
There you have it.
I want to give y'all flowers now.
Because
I heard last night, man, in 5 years, you've missed three episodes. I don't think people really understand the level of consistency and dedication it takes to do something like that. And again, like we said last night, out of all the podcasts out there, shout out to $1 Million Worth of Game and Wild.
Were you saw us on there?
yeah. Shout out to them. But just showing love, man. Like I said, the first time we met Chad, I mean, we two dudes from Greenberg, New York. So for him to see us and say like, yo, I got to meet them. I got to talk to them. I got guidance I can give to them. Yeah. I mean, it still sticks with us. Like we said, we still talk about the ideas he said to us. I remember him like, yo, he's shining a light on your bald head. That's not going to look great on camera. And I'm just like, oh, damn, yo, we got to change how we do the lighting. Yo, we got to upgrade the cameras. We can't be using the phones no more. So just that level of guidance coming from where he's coming from and where y'all was at, I was just like, yo, damn, the amount of love that y'all showed, man. I wanted to thank y'all personally.
Yeah. And I got
to
give Chad a shout out and Weezy from Horrible Decisions. They both reached out to Charlamagne, and that's the first time I actually spoke to Charlamagne. So,
yeah.
Oh, he's actually responsible for that whole situation. So.
And on top of that, man.
Y'all responsible for that. Yeah. We want to thank God for that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And when we needed an entertainment lawyer, we didn't even know it was like entertainment lawyer. Yeah.
Shout out to Amy.
Chad was like, yo,
Amy and Rafo.
We got somebody for you. And shout so, like, yeah, shout out to you for that.
We got to have her on the show.
Yeah. But see, those are the type of things that we're going to push to keep going forward. It's like when you say that, somebody who doesn't have an entertainment lawyer, you're going to be like, ooh, I can't afford that. You need to go and talk to these folks, man, and show them that you're serious about having one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Step your whole profile.
Amy said the same thing about that, too. She was like, wait. When I tell these people Chad coming, they be like, oh, no. But he about his business, man. He about his business.
Yeah. Chad, you want to tell him your social media handles?
Nah, I'm cool.
Nah, you good.
I'll tell him first. I'll tell him all the time. It's not gonna work like that, man. However much you try to play the background, we're still
gonna blast this out.
Where people know who Biggs is from Rockefeller.
That's a fact.
They know. There is no escaping this shit, bro. This industry is humongous.
Yeah, I see Charlamagne screaming his name.
And the more you try to avoid that shit, the more people going to pursue you.
Charlamagne, I appreciate that, but don't do that again.
Shout Chad's name. I said, oh, dog, they got you all over.
Like, man, what did Lowe's put online? Like, I got DMs of people like, bro, hire me. I'm like, man, somebody posted something, and I finally figured it out. Like, damn.
Damn.
Like, we always looking to expand and link up with some dope-ass people, though, man. You know? But, you know, with the world slowing down right now, we really just focused in-house, man, taking that shit back to the basics. But, you know, once the world opened up, we back on their ass and we can really open up our platform and try to add a few more people to the team and change their life, too, man.
We'll
send some people over here to y'all, man.
We need more media, bro. We need more people that's pushing buttons. We need more people that's controlling their opportunities so you can control your community. And communities, we make... Change comes from leverage, and you create leverage through community.
Yep,
that's a fact.
That's it. Don't worry about
all
the money.
Creators. Open your platform up and have other guests and other creators on there, man. Put all that sneak hating.
All the change you want to
throwing shade, whatever the fuck they do.
Build your leverage up before you worried about building your brand up, though.
Yeah,
tell them.
Love is love. Appreciate y'all, brothers, man. Yes, Troy, housekeeping items.
Yeah, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. Y'all know that's our proud to pay program. Shout out to everybody that is a Tier 5 member. Y'all know y'all have access to EYL University, the number one school for business and entrepreneurism in the world. Shout out to all our earners and everybody that's been supporting the merch, that fine quality double stitch merch.
Double stitch
merch. We appreciate all your support and thank you. Obviously, we expressed it on this episode and Chad said the same. Obviously, with COVID, there's been delays, but y'all have been extremely patient and and your support and level of support and understanding. So again, we greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Hey man, shout out to y'all, bro. I can't say it enough. I listen to y'all. I consume y'all's media often. Like, I'm on Market Mondays now.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Hey, bro, put me on, bro, because I don't really understand what y'all saying just yet. Just tell me where to go.
So, nah, you know what? Man. It's the love, because we went to yesterday to your spot, and everybody that's part of the team, they was like, yo, I'm tapped in. I'm tuning in. I binge-watched the episodes, da-da-da-da. So, yeah, we got a lot of support from the team over there, man. So, appreciate y'all. Yeah. For sure.
Hey, man, and this anything that y'all need from us on our side, anything. There's not like no money or no shit. I'm sending y'all none of my hard-earned pay. But on some real shit, man, if y'all need anything on our side, you know what I mean, advice, if these people good or not, man, y'all more than welcome to. You know what I'm saying? And I hope it's the same on both sides, because y'all over here getting money. I see bright. You know, you got the double stitches, man. I know what them double stitches hitting for, bro. So, yeah, man, y'all keep us in the loop, and we're going to definitely stay in the loop with y'all, and we're going to keep this network moving.
Definitely.
That's it, bro. Appreciate you. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.